Romans. Okay, get in our Bibles here this morning. And this is so important because Jesus is already talking. And by the way, we're in John chapter 6, and we're getting into verses 30 through 50. And you're like, 20 verses? Yes, because we're going to go through this quickly. Because remember, Jesus had already answered two questions. Remember from last week, the disciples came through the Sea of Galilee. And you had, the week before, you had what? We talked about the 5,000, 15,000 that were fed, right? Well, you had the same people who were looking for Jesus, who got on the boat with his disciples, went across the Sea of Galilee, and the next thing, you know, they hear about what's going on in Capernaum. They're like, oh, we heard about this Jesus. He takes care of our medical needs. Remember, people would just grab hold of his hem and he'd be healed. And also our food. You know, doctors tell us that with our amino acids that we eat too much one day. And what happens after Thanksgiving? We're starving, aren't we? You're like, well, at least I'll speak for myself because I like to eat a lot. You know, when there's a lot of good food, I take a little bit of each. But we have a tendency to eat, right, when we can. So I am very sure they were very hungry. These people, same people come back. My point is, folks, you know, God is more concerned about our spiritual than our physical, you know. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. All right. Now, two questions had already been answered. The first one in John chapter 6. And it says here in verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, why comest hither? Where have you been? And because they weren't following Christ, they had no idea. People today are looking for the Lord in all the wrong places. They have no idea where to find Jesus. Who is your Jesus today? Yeah, who is the Jesus? I saw that coordination the other day with King Charles III. You know, I thought it was kind of neat, you know, all this pomp and everything. It was beautiful in the Abbey, right? But the thing is when they pulled out the Eucharist, and I can speak for it myself because I used to be Anglican, I used to be Episcopal, and we used to go to a very high church where you had all the glitter and glitz every Sunday with my mom and my siblings, and we'd sit there and watch this repetitive. The priest said the same thing that was said to me over 60 years ago, the same thing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, listen to that. Would you? You got to be kidding me. And I'm thinking, if I was in the same church listening to the same priest, the same orator, the same proclamation, I would still be believing the same thing. But thank God, had this little church out in the country years ago, 50 years ago, or excuse me, a little over 40 years ago, and the preacher told me about Jesus, that he could be my Savior and I was a sinner. If I had kept on going to the Anglican church, I would have known better. So, they're asking, Jesus, where have you been? Another question in verse 28. This is just the background. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God that ye believe on him whom he had sent. That's Jesus Christ. That's the second question. My point is they still don't get it. It's like it goes right over their head. They don't understand it. And they got to intellectualism, right? They've got it all down pat, what they've learned from Moses and what they've learned from their fathers, but they still don't get it because they're not spiritually discerned. They were spiritually dead. Then we see the third question, verse 30. Try again. You know, if we don't get it this time, let's try again. They said unto him, what sign showest thou then that you would may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. It's the third question. Now, if they had just read the Pentateuch or the Torah at the time, if they understood the first five books of Moses, you have Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 35. We don't have the time to get into that, read those verses, but I'll tell you primarily what it meant. Is that Moses was there in the wilderness, circling around, never going into the promised land. Today, people are not going into the promised land. They're circling around, looking for Jesus here, there, and everywhere. Let me tell you what. God took care of them in spite of that. If they had read their Bible, remember the manna that came down in the morning. It came down as little, like, rounded little wafers, and it tasted like honey. Very delicious type of thing. They could have had banana manna bread. They could have made souffle bread. They could have done all kinds of things creatively. Okay, a lot of people get stopped short in life because they're not creative. God made us to be creative. God has made us all unique and different. Nothing of the two is the same in life. So they could have done something with the manna. And what did? They murmured and complained. What did they do? In these verses afterwards, they started to gossip and whine. There's nothing worse than being around a whiner and complainer. God forgives that too. And yes, we've all been in that situation. We're like, Lord, give me a break. When we don't even understand what God's trying to tell us. And eventually he does. And we get it under the blood and everything's much, much better. Well, what did they feed Israelites? 3 million of them? Well, you're looking at quail. God took care of them in the evening time with quail. So they had a proper diet. Okay. The main food source of that day was bread. Okay. Jesus is called the bread of life. He could have been called in Asia the rice of life because the sustainable diet of that day was bread. But they missed the part. They missed the boat, so to speak. They missed the supper. It's like Jesus is the bread of life, the spiritual part. He is not just the physical. They got it with the eating part. We are so blessed today with food. We have so much. You know, we can get whatever we want off the shelves. We can give thanks. Oh, I don't know for how much longer with this government's running things. You know, it seems like you look at the news, you're just like, oh, I don't want to see any more. No, thank you. So we pray for our government leaders, like what we do in Romans chapter 13. We pray. We have to pray for them. Just a small group of over 550 people run our Congress, judicial system, and our president, executive branch, over close to 600 people run everything that goes on in downtown D.C. Amazing. You know, they can get away with that stuff. But God knows. So that's good enough for us, good enough for me. So Jesus is getting, let's get back here. So here they were, and they knew all about God's word. They were intellectually smart, they thought. But they were not spiritually discerned, and they had the choice. It's like with the coin here this morning. They had the choice, except to accept Jesus or not to accept Jesus. It's very simple. People's lives sometimes are changed by a flip of a coin. Life can change so quick on us, so we have to be prepared. A lot of times we're not, and honestly, with us all, we're not. But we try to be prepared. But these people saw the truth. It's called repetitive teaching. Jesus taught it over and over, and they still didn't get it. So let me move on here. And so, verse 31 and 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, it means I'm making it very clear to you. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to what I have to say. Look up. I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And so, if we remember what Christ went through in the wilderness, remember the devil came to him at his weakest point? And Jesus had fasted 40 days. Say, well, wait a minute. How can Jesus, who's 100% God, 100% man, how could he fast for 40 days? Well, you know, doctors will tell you, you can only fast for so long. You can do without water for so long. But the point is that he was tempted. He says, change this stone into bread. And Jesus answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that comes from the mouth of the Word of God. Comes from the Word of God. Spiritual. Got it. It's not necessarily talking about material things. Jesus is saying, yes, you need to have things that you need to eat. You need to listen to your doctor. You need to listen to what you do with your diets and all. But spiritual is more important. So, verse 34 says, And they said unto him, Lord, here they go again. Evermore, give us this bread. So they just don't get it. They don't get it. Today we got a lot of people today just don't get it. Don't give up on them because, you know, by the grace of God, so are we. You know, I think about the children. I think about the children because thank God our parents didn't give up on us and say, you know what, you're done. There's the back door. See you, kids. Bye. Moms and dads don't do that. Grandparents don't do that. They love them. They're like, I'm going to take care of my precious little ones. Or if we don't have kids today, you know, we know kids that we love. And we're going to take care of them because they're the most precious thing in the whole wide world to us. You better believe it, they are. Talking to the great-grandparents and the grandparents and the parents, everybody. So kids are precious in the sight of the Lord. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Think about, okay, he's talking about he is the bread of life, now he's talking about drinking. Remember the woman at the well? The woman at the well. Yes, remember that back in John chapter 4, it seemed like a while ago. But how time flies by, how quickly time goes. And hopefully we're all the better because of it. So God gives us this lady at the well, and Jesus says, if you take of this, you will never thirst. And she says, what are you talking about, Lord? That's my paraphrase. And Jesus says, I am the water. I am the water that gives that you'll never thirst again. And she got it, and she couldn't wait. Remember, she went down to her village and said, hey, people, this is the most exciting thing I ever heard. This Jesus, this Messiah, this prophet, this person who he calls himself and his disciples. Remember they came back up to Jesus after she went down to the town and told them about it. And he was there for a few days. They went down to get some lunch. They were hungry. Jesus knows about our hunger. And what we thirst after, but today, let me encourage everyone today, we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because they're after everything said and done in the day, that's what counts. We want our prayers answered. We've had two wonderful prayers answered with two parents' daughters who've had answered the prayer. Because we prayed. We prayed on Wednesday nights about it. And we prayed this here in the church. That God would answer prayer. And God wants to answer our prayer today. And he's going to do it if we believe. The problem is these Jewish leaders and all these people who are just fed still didn't believe it because all they cared about was when's lunchtime. You ever sat with somebody and they're constantly looking at their watch? It must be kind of frustrating for them. I feel sorry for them because they're not satisfied. They're not paying attention. And they should be hungering after God's righteousness instead of thinking about their stomachs. And we talked about that last week. The God of their belly is talking about their flesh. Always concerned about what their flesh is. So we need to keep ourselves in check and in guard. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So there's the human perspective and the divine perspective. Let me give you an illustration. Okay, the other week, and you've all done this, hopped in your car, you've driven out to the airport. Well, that's life for you. You have a destination to get to heaven. It's called sanctification. In our past, we're sanctified, we're saved. Presently, we're sanctified. In the future is that perfect sanctification, we're home with the Lord. Now listen to this. It's like you get into the car You have a destination to go to. Let's say if you're going to fly out to Europe, you get in your car and you know on that ticket says the Bible that you are going to heaven. And guess what? You have a ticket, the Word of God, and you get to the airport and that plane is going to fly you. You believe in faith that that plane is going to get you to heaven. Keep it in prayer, because I just read this in the news and I got to double check things. We need to be praying for our aviators, and I got to check one guy who works as a pilot here in church. We've got some of the worst aviation technology. We need to upgrade that in our country. So much to be said for that. So keep on flying. Don't worry about that I said that. But you're in a plane, you're flying, and you know you're going to get to your destination. That's heaven. You're going to get there because you trust the pilot, the Holy Spirit, to get you there. You know you're going to get there. And how many times we've been in planes or we've driven our cars, we trust cars that have are just blown up by air and run by an engine and all the other things. We trust it to get us to where we're going every day. And so that's how it is there between the human election. God, we believe God has saved us, but then we have the human volition. That means the choice. God has saved us, but we also have a choice whether we want to go or not, whether we want to hop in that car or that plane and believe that God is going to get us there. And so Jesus gives a choice. And he says in verse 37, all that Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will him that come to me, and I will no wise cast out. The other day I went to this business meeting in Oconomowoc Chamber Association. I met about some people I haven't seen in a while. It's good to see them there. And, you know, in one presentation, this guy gets up there, works with the automobiles over at Oconomowoc High School, and he goes, you know what? And he was just telling everybody and pretty much who have had businesses, work businesses before. First 30 seconds before you go for a job interview is going to make the best impression. The best impression. So in 30 seconds or less, you have to sell yourself. It's just like when you go on the internet, you don't want to read paragraph after paragraph. You want to get it in a few sentences, right? Oh, I got the idea. Or they call them quick buys there at the grocery store. Those little things that hang off the corners around the grocery aisle stores. Impulse buys, you know? Oh, you need this right away because this takes care of this and that. You know, they couldn't even get it, these people. They were spiritually lost. And we have to come to grips today that we need to, and I've been praying, Lord, help me try to reach people for you. You know, we can try our best out, but Lord, you know, we never want to get into this where like, Lord, I'm looking in all the wrong direction. I want to look in the right direction. Please, God, show me. That's where the Holy Spirit comes along. That's where people praying for us comes. That's where the Word of God comes in. So we need to encourage one another, you know? So Jesus never casts us out, you know? The word that God draws us to himself, we accept it. There are some today who apostatized that looked at it, tasted it, the word of God, and they spat it out. They spat it out. That's the apostasy that we have. People taste the word of God and they're like, I don't want this. They walk away. So wait a minute. Didn't they come to church? Didn't they hear the word of God? Don't they get it? No, they don't. Well, they understood what it is. You can't lose your salvation. Don't believe that garbage, because it is from the trash pits of hell, from the Guinea, from the trash pits they had outside Jerusalem there. It's burning without end. So, verse 38, for I came down from heaven to do mine own will. Not to do my own will, excuse me, but to do what? For him of the will that sent me. Jesus, remember, was back in the mountains there when the disciples went across Galilee. And now, as we see in this context, John chapter 6, that they're in a synagogue situation in Capernaum, And Jesus saying, look, I was about doing my Father's business. I was up in those mountains or those hills there praying to my Father. And we're about today to do what? Jesus' business. You know, I'd rather not be doing the other business, like getting into somebody else's business, the gossip and all the foolishness that people talk about. And yes, we have to be careful what we say. Like this morning, I got somebody's kids all mixed up. Somebody told me one thing, and he's like, no, that's not what this person does. And I'm like, well, I heard it from somebody, and I was like, oh, boy. Rule 101, if you don't know somebody, go to the source. Ask them so you don't get in trouble. So, but Jesus is about his Father's business. They didn't get it. They were so wrapped up in their intellectualism. Verse 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again in the last day. What is the last days? It's the church today. We are in the last days. We're at the time of the resurrection. What is known as the rapture can happen at any time. These are exciting times that we're living in. Life is changing so fast before us. I have never seen in my life. And I think if my daddy was alive right now, he'd be over 108, maybe about 115 right now. But he'd be like, I can't believe this. And, you know, we could all say the amen too. And in a lifetime, things have changed so much. And then, as we see here in verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. Oh, here they go now. Because look, if people don't understand what you have to say, and they may not necessarily like what you have to say, they're going to start talking behind your back. You know, you got to be careful about when people smile and talk to you, and, you know, then all of a sudden you just happen to walk by and you hear them talking about you. You know, well, this is Jesus' day. He understands when we have a day like that. Because don't feel discourage Christians, don't. Remember whose side you're on. You love your neighbors as you love yourself. And you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. But remember this. The world hates you because they hated him, Jesus. Just remember that. Take comfort, my brethren. They're going to hate you because they hated him. I don't think our neighbors or people that we know deliberately hate us. I really don't. I think there's some wonderful people out there, loving people, they care, but they just don't get Jesus, and they don't get salvation. They don't understand where we're coming from. So take heart. Let me encourage you. Love them anyway. Remember, when a trial comes, what? It should make you stronger. Stronger, not weaker. Don't fall apart. Don't go to pieces. Makes you stronger. Stronger. And the other day when I was having my bout with the devil, I was sitting there. I was like, this is going to make me stronger. I couldn't see it, but I felt a spiritual battle going around me. Like everyone's a different one. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? It wasn't like I've ever felt like before, but boy, I can really sense something isn't right here. Pray that will make you stronger. And guess what? That will go. It will flee. Flee. Demonic oppression happens, not possession. Not a Christian can be possessed. You cannot be possessed because greater is he than is he in the world. You can be oppressed. And when you're on the front lines for the Lord Jesus Christ, you better believe you're going to get your attacks. And they will come out of nowhere. But just remember, let me encourage you. Greater is he than that's in you than he is in the world, or he that is in anywhere else you call it. It doesn't have to be in the world, but it could be anywhere. It should make you stronger. So the Jews then murmured at him because he says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Jesus had said this 23 times in this gospel. He also called himself the bread of life, the light of, I am the light of the world. I am the door that to the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the vine. Jesus says that I am who I am. It has the a great impression of a personal masculine program. So say, well, what does that mean? Has the idea that he is he who he says who he is. He is the great I am, God in the flesh. So, and then they said to him, this is not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. They completely lost it. They were out and left field. Look, I have problems with paying attention as a kid. Okay, I used to have issues learning skills growing up. And I'd go out in left field somewhere. Where are you at? I'm over here. You know, my music teacher would tell me that when I was singing in a choir and in band. You know, it's just like, that helped me. Music helped me. Other therapies helped me. And likewise, you know, God helps us that way. And then he said, oh, he's the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. Intellectually, they knew that, but they didn't know who Jesus really was, because for 30 years, he grew up, and for 3 years, he was out, doing what he was told to do. Remember, when he went into the synagogue, when he was 8 years of age, Mary and Joseph were like, where's Jesus? Where did they find him? In the synagogue, right? What did Jesus say? I'm here about doing my father's business. And guess what? He's doing his father's business today and even then. It says, how is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Intellectuals aren't too smart sometimes. They miss it. And some of them are saying he was Elijah. Some of them are saying he was John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist was already dead by then. They said, well, maybe he's Moses reincarnate. Now, people will give you all kinds of excuses today in place of Jesus. Anything but Jesus. They will do anything today. I've met the people out here in this area, and I probably will in the past. Well, excuse me, I have in the past. I probably will in the future. They like you. They want to be with you. But Jesus, no. Verse 43, and Jesus answering unto them says, murmur not amongst yourself. You know, a murmurer, a complainer about somebody is a coward. Say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. You know, I've done that too. I murmured and complained. But Jesus says, you know, Jesus is not an accuser of the brethren, but my conscience accuses me at times when I say things that I shouldn't and I'm complaining about somebody. And Jesus is getting a hold of me and saying, wait a minute. Don't be a coward. If you disagree with somebody, go and tell them, talk to them. Do it in love, yes. But now they got to the point where the next final step was like, now they complain amongst themselves. They didn't want to hear about what Jesus had to say. No man can come unto me except the Father which I have sent me draw him and raise him up in the last day. Jesus, again, repetitiveness. He mentioned this over and over again. I am the bread of life. Repetitive what? Teaching. When you're a teacher, repetitate. You say it over and over again so the students get it. Jesus is trying to tell them, get it? It's like when you practice to become good at something, you practice. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. And every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned. Jesus is saying, haven't you heard and learned through Isaiah, Isaiah 54:13, of the Father, of have heard and learned of the Father? You know, sometimes intellectuals or people that are pretty smart. We got a lot of pretty smart people here today. You don't necessarily get peace and rest with just the right answer, but you get, and I'm talking about spiritually speaking, but you get peace and rest through faith. Because sometimes it looks right. Sometimes you have the answer. And sometimes it's like simple as for the kid to understand. 1 + 1 = 2. But God wants you to go a step further by faith. God wants you to believe the unbelievable. And Jesus is saying, I want you to believe. But they don't want to believe. So let us not discourage ourselves today. Let us believe anyway, knowing that we're going to go to heaven, but pray for those who aren't. And you're struggling, if somebody's here today struggling with their faith, just remember, or their salvation, pursue your faith. Pursue your faith. Not what you intellectually know about yourself. Pursue your faith. Believe by grace through faith. I've made it this far, Lord. I know you will get me through the rest of the way. I know you will. As simple as that. Verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Truly, truly. Here he goes again, making it perfectly clear. Jesus is saying, isn't God merciful? Isn't he wonderful in our life? Doesn't he care about us? You know, and he could have just shut the door a long time ago. He says, you know, I've had it. My patience is over with. But he's a patient. And we ask for patience today. Just remember, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. His fruit of righteousness is patience and love and all those good things and faithfulness. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. In other words, today he's saying, except for Joshua and Caleb, what happened to the rest of them? They died in their sins. Joshua and Caleb, remember, they went into the promised land. They saw the giants, Amalekites, giants in the land. And they were saying, oh, no, this is not happening. We look like grasshoppers. These were gigantic human beings. And he says, oh, yes, you know, we saw them. And you know what happened? They believed by faith. And the rest of the people, they did not believe in faith. They had their stomachs filled. They went through the humdrum life of every day. Like, you know, go home. Yeah, give thanks to the Lord. Did all the things in order that people think they get to heaven. And there's a lot of good meaning people that are going straight to hell today because they don't have the faith. And is it for me or you to know who's going to heaven and who isn't? No. That's between a person and Jesus. You know you're going to heaven. Our spirit bears witness with us that we know that we're going to heaven. The Word of God bears witness that we know we're going to go to heaven. And so verse 50 closes with this. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. It's the spiritual bread. That's all he's saying. But you got a lot of people today that they serve a different Jesus. They serve a different God. Thank God we have one God, and that's our Father through Jesus Christ and through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit.